How to Neighbors, Ron Hayes here on the Radio Oklahoma Network and OklahomaFarmReport.com here on our Ag Perspectives podcast. We have with us today the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, the Honorable Congressman from the state of Oklahoma's 3rd Congressional District, Frank Lucas. Congressman, let's talk a little bit about the accomplishments of this last week of your committee. As you've had a chance to ponder it over the weekend and know exactly what went into everything Wednesday and into early Thursday morning, your thoughts now about the things that you were able to accomplish with Mr. Peterson on this measure so far?
And I knew that Colin and I had agreed on a very balanced, responsible, reform-minded, fiscally responsible bill. After 15 hours in markup, that was borne out. I'll have to admit, in the big picture sense, I did not expect a 35-11 vote. I had an overwhelming vote of both Republicans and Democrats in a very bipartisan way. The base text of the bill dealing with everything from the commodity title, where we, by reforming and offering options and choices to producers, save $14 billion to the $6 billion in the conservation section that basically was very similar to what we'd agreed to with the Senate even last year, and then the $16.5 billion in reforms, real reforms in the nutrition title. I mean, having essentially all of that that was in the base text survived the entire markup process, and it can't be said that my colleagues didn't have some good ideas. 109 amendments filed, 97 of them members asked be considered. We adopted 44 of those amendments in a variety of areas. Just a tremendous process. And anyone who had a sufficient amount of insomnia to watch us from 10 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday until after 1 o'clock in the morning on Thursday knows that perhaps a little bit surprising to many, while we had some very lively debate on dairy language and the base dairy language in the bill prevailed. We had the great debate on the sugar title, which is essentially the sugar language from the 08 Farm Bill. It was maintained. Wouldn't be surprised by some of the rather intense and vocal discussion on the nutrition title, whether it was efforts by some of my more liberal Democrat friends to try and strip out all $16.5 billion in reforms or strip out part of it, which were all defeated, or to some also, I suppose, the surprise of my very conservative Republican friends who tried to substantially up, basically double in one of the instances of the nutrition savings. But nonetheless, the base text, I had sufficient support from both sides on virtually every key point to maintain it. I think we've got a good workable bill, Ron, and I won't deny for a moment that 35-11 vote, which I think surprised many people, and myself included, represented the traditional bipartisan spirit of the Agriculture Committee that when it's time to craft national farm policy, comprehensive farm policy, we still will work our way to a point where we can work together in an overwhelming way. And 35-11 is I think, an overwhelming margin, especially in the body I work in these days.
It seemed like to me that the crucial vote or the turning point as you work through all the amendments came fairly early in the nutrition debate, when you had quite a bit of conversation about the one amendment that would have restored all of those reforms, those savings that you had talked about, the $16.5 billion. When that amendment went down to defeat, it seemed like that maybe you were coasting a little bit or starting to get past to where you might be able to move on, you know, and see this successful conclusion.
Absolutely right, Ron. That was a critical moment because we made the case. My ranking member, Mr. Peterson, myself, and a number of my colleagues, especially on the Republican side, that the reforms that were encompassed in saving $16.5 billion were things essentially like ending categorical eligibility, requiring, in essence, that every person in this country who needs food stamps, who would qualify for food stamps, actually go in and demonstrate that their income level, their asset level, made them eligible. Under present federal laws existed since apparently 1996, there are a number of areas by which if you're receiving some other federal assistance, or if you're receiving information, or if you're getting $1 home heating oil check, in, for instance, in the Northeast, then you automatically qualify for the full food stamp benefit. The times we operate in now are economically challenging. They're fiscally difficult. I think the committee had an obligation not only to every taxpayer who pays for all of these programs, but also the people that deserve them, to make sure that the food stamp, the SNAP program, however you want to describe it, go to those people who are actually eligible and qualified to receive the benefit. That's not unreasonable. That's factoring in, as I said, both the taxpayer's point of view and directing the resources to the people who really deserve it and qualify for it. But that was the turning point. From then on, we worked through a number of amendments, but yes, we were on the downhill coast from there.
One other amendment I wanted to talk about just for a moment is was the basically rolling back of everything that's been done to this point on GPSA. Your thoughts about how that came to pass?
Well, you know, Ron, I know that the Packers and Stockyards Act has an important role to play in our livestock market. And GPSA, as it's commonly referred to, the regulations that are implemented through that, have not proven to be satisfactory to basically any of the parties involved. And what my neighbor down in Texas, Mr. Conaway, and Mr. Costa from California did with their amendment was to try and bring the uncertainty, the turbulence that's been going on in the market, to a focus. And this has been a real gyration the last 2 years. In essence, it's using language that the Appropriations Committee has used recently, which is very similar to appropriations language they used last year. And I hope this puts the issue behind us. I hope that it will prove, I just hope this puts the issue behind us.
Let's talk about trying to get this thing to the floor. What is your, obviously we talked a little bit before the actual markup. Now that you've got that behind you, what's the case? How do you get leadership to give you floor time?
Well, I've personally alerted both the speaker and the majority floor leader on the floor to the facts that we're aware of, which is the Farm Act 6083 had cleared the committee and was ready for floor consideration. They acknowledged that they knew that. I do understand that in the remaining days of July, they have a very aggressive agenda, whether it's tax issues or regulatory relief issues, finishing the appropriation bills. I know they've got a very focused agenda on that, but I truly believe we do deserve, we do need, we should qualify for floor time under the Farm Bill. We've demonstrated a comprehensive a bill. We've demonstrated a bill that saves $35 billion in real savings, and not occasionally the shell games that go on in other appropriations processes where they move the pieces around all over the table. We really save $35 billion actual dollars. We need the bill to be considered on the floor so that we can proceed to the conference and work out the ultimate bill with the Senate, which is different than the House bill, in time to address that. I'm encouraging leadership in every capacity I can. I would hope that the ag community, both production and processing, and even the consumer groups around the country would begin to remind elected leadership in the House that this is an important issue. But ultimately, whether we're given floor time immediately or a little bit later, where we're going to respond, I will also tell you, Ron, that I've had discussions with Senate Ag Committee Chairwoman Stabenow about how we begin to discuss the differences between our two bills even before we get to a formal conference. To lay the groundwork there, I think we can get our work done. But one other thing producers are very well aware of that we need to remember, too. When you change virtually all of the commodity titles, when you do things to the magnitude of consolidating programs that we do in the conservation title, even if the bill were to come to the floor next week, even if we were to get into conference at the beginning of September, even if we were able to get everything done on time, you're still in a very tight time window because the U.S. Department of Agriculture will have to take a bill signed into law by the president. They'll have to promulgate, that is, write and vet the rules that implement the bill. Once that process is done, USDA has to turn around then and go out and contract for software to provide the actual tools for the FSA employees and the NRCS employees across the country to then have the farmers come in and go over and sign up, make their decisions about. Don't be totally surprised, Ron, if at a certain point, even if we secure and finish a farm bill in this calendar year, you may have to have an extension for a year or a half a year or so many months to allow everything to be done so that the new farm bill can be properly put to work in an orderly fashion. My neighbors here, if we get a little moisture at the end of August, we'll begin to sow wheat on the first day of September in Roger Mills County. And that's my wheat pasture neighbors. My grain neighbors will like to have theirs in the ground by October 1. So we're already, from a wheat farmer's perspective, running out of time to make decisions for this coming crop.
You mentioned some sort of maybe a pre-meeting or pre-conference with Ms. Stabenow. How much can you get done in something like that?
Well, there are a number of areas where the language in the Senate bill, the House bill, is very close to the language in the super committee effort last fall. Conservation is a classic example. I think a lot of the details could be sorted out there. In some of the other areas where the Senate doesn't quite have our option system on the commodity title, I think beginning to develop an understanding between myself, the chairwoman, and between the Senate and House Ag Committee staff is critically important there to mold to that final product. But yes, don't let it be said for a moment that I don't appreciate the will of the floor of the United States House. And certainly, just as my 46 members, counting myself, had the ability to make any and all amendments and changes in the bill that the Colin and I introduced in committee, so things are subject to potentially dramatic legislative changes on the floor of the House. So yes, Ron, there is a limit to what you can do until you ultimately have the will of your I ultimately have the will of my colleagues, I should say. But a lot of the commas and the semicolons and the can be worked on in a little bit in advance. So.
Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Oklahoma Congressman Frank Lucas, talking with us on the long line from his Western Oklahoma 3rd Congressional District. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.